This section, too, is the same as St. Mark, and much the same as St. Matthew. We have this healing, first, of Peter's mother-in-law. In St. Luke's account, this is a deliverance. He rebuked the fever, and it left. And the word that is used in the text for that is the word usually used for the rebuking of demons. And so you see how our Lord has this authority over any obstacle to his Father's will. And so he heals this woman. Then, at sunset, that is, now it's no longer Sabbath, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And the demons also came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." He rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. They knew there was something special about him. And they were forced to acknowledge it, but also they were hoping that their acknowledgement would diminish his reputation. If the demons are confessing him, who is he? And then he went and prayed. Now, to understand all of that, to penetrate to its real meaning, we have to pray. We have to be able to ponder this, enter into it. Look at this first scene here. As Luke tells it to us, he left the synagogue. That's where he was preaching and expelled the demon, remember? It was just yesterday. And then he comes into Peter's house. This house, probably, we can still see the ruins of it at Capernaum. This one house we dug up, first century Capernaum. And there's one house, and the houses around it have been knocked down. There's absolutely no space between these houses. They're tiny, and they're just all jumbled together. But there's a space created around this house, and there's sort of a circle. Now, why would they do that if this weren't the special house, the house of Peter, and it had been a church, I would suppose, for a long time? And so it's still there, which is kind of awesome when you think of it, to go and stand there and say, that's where Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. That's where all the crowd were out there in those tiny, narrow streets, you know, listening, wanting to be healed. And so everybody who had somebody sick brought them. Now, you see the role there of miracle. It's to break through people's lack of hope, lack of a sense of God, to restore to them a hope and to give them a hope. Life can become pretty humdrum, and we just put one foot in front of the other, and try to get through the day or the week or the month. But we don't think about God. When the Lord comes, even now, and heals somebody, the reality of God is clear. We can be dulled to that as well, unless we're living a life of prayer. I don't know if you remember, there was one of these wonderful priests with a very great gift of healing. In fact, he used to come visit us here years ago. And when the people came up on the stage to bear witness to their healing, he was in the back of the stage. He was so awed, though he had healed thousands, he was so awed by this personal work of Jesus Christ that he couldn't, somebody else introduced them and said, you were healed, what was wrong, how were you healed, all the rest. Somebody else did that. He was in the back. It was too awesome for him. I was back there with him one day, and these people were standing up and coming and been healed of many, many different diseases. And I said to him, you know, when I see this, I wonder why I just don't have a conversion. Here is God acting right in front of us. And he said, conversion. That's what I need, a conversion. But you see, it's this the kindness of God to incessantly be calling to us, incessantly moving us to himself. And so that's why they all came. He laid his hands on each of them. It's hard to imagine. I can imagine this because I've lived over there and I've seen Capernaum many times. Tiny, tiny little houses with streets about this wide, and the sick all over the town. He has to walk through all these crowds, put his hands on each one. Why? He could have stayed there and said, be healed, right? But he didn't. Because it's not the healing alone that matters. It's the manifestation of God the Father's love and care. And he wanted to communicate that sense through the sense of touch and prayed over each one of them. And as he was going through the crowd, you see, the demons would start shouting. And he'd rebuke them, told them not to speak. And then everybody went to sleep. The next morning, before dawn, he leaves and goes out. I would guess, knowing the countryside, he probably went north up into a hill there, not far from Cortesine, and was praying. That was the rhythm of his life, to be in communion with the Father. Now here is somebody who, in the depth of his being, is God, communicating with the Father through his humanity, by going away and praying. You see, his love, his thirst to be with the Father. And out of that comes this sense of compassion and care. So that people know there's a living God. When they all try to get him to stay, listen to this urgency. To the other towns also, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. I've got to go and tell people the urgency of this. I think today we should pray. Pray for this sense of prayer and urgency. Be alert to what the real issues are. And quietly pray for people for healing. Pass them on the street, just pray. If they're close to you, put your hands on them and pray. Close, they know you. So that once again, with all the worries and the weights and the godlessness, people will get a chance to know in a personal way the reality and the majesty of God.